Hello and welcome to our time of worship this evening. It's lovely to be able to speak to you now. Let's commit this time of worship to God in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we confess before you that you are nothing like us. You're so removed from us. You are outside of time. You are totally holy. You're pure. You're righteous. You're all powerful. And we are so different to you. We confess before you our sin. And we haven't loved you today as we should. We've sinned against you easily. Almighty God, I pray you will forgive us now as we come before you. We realise that we have such a privilege to be able to come into your very throne room now, the throne room of heaven itself. We thank you for our Saviour, Lord Jesus Christ, who makes this possible. Thank you that before time was, you set your love on us. And thank you that we can draw near to you now. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Belvedere, Lord. Thank you for each other, Lord. Thank you that we are praying for each other and that we know what it is to be part of a local church. Thank you even now that even though we are separated and we feel your hand heavy against us, Lord, but thank you that we have this opportunity now of just coming together in this way to worship you. And Almighty God, I pray that you will just help us to listen and Lord, apply your word to our hearts, Lord. It might be useful to us. And Lord, apply those things that are true to our hearts, Lord. Anything that's not, take it away, Lord. And just help us now, Lord, as we come to worship you, to read your word together. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I'm sure you're aware, we're coming to the book of Jeremiah this evening. And we are now coming to Jeremiah in chapter 28. Now, there are an awful lot of things we could say as we look at Jeremiah 28. God's people, have been taken away captive. And God's hand is heavy against them. We could look at God's judgment, being willing to submit to God's judgment. But there's one message we're going to be looking at this evening, and it's to do with the false prophets or false prophets. So let's come to Jeremiah chapter 28. And if you have a Bible, it'd be great if you can just follow along with us now. I'm going to be reading the whole chapter. Jeremiah and chapter 28. In the fifth month of that same year, the fourth year, early in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azur, who was from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah before the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say to you in the hearing in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms, but the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true. Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah and broke it, and he said before all the people, "This is what the Lord says. In the same way I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, off the neck of all the nations within 2 years." At this, the prophet Jeremiah went on his way. After the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. "Go and tell Hananiah, this is what the Lord says. You have broken a wooden yoke, but in its place you will get a yoke of iron. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will put an iron yoke on the necks of all these nations to make them serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will serve him. I will even give him control over the wild animals." Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah, the prophet, "Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, yet you have persuaded this nation to trust in lies. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. This very year, you are going to die because you have preached rebellion against the Lord. In the 7th month of that same year, Hananiah the prophet died." So let me just set the scene. In Jeremiah's time, the sin of Jerusalem was enormous. You would say it was beyond the point of no return. First of all, not one just person could be found in Jerusalem. You'll probably remember the words the Lord speaks to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. He says, "Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Look, take note. Search her squares to see if you can find a man, one who does justice and seeks truth." And of course, Jeremiah couldn't find one. There was also a lot of killing of innocent poor people. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 34, we read these words. "Also on your skirts is found the lifeblood of the guiltless poor. You did not find them breaking in, yet in spite of these things you say, 'I'm innocent.' So they killed people and they claimed they were innocent. Not only that, but they also had as many gods as there were cities in Judah. In Jeremiah 11, verse 13, we read these words. "Your gods have become as many as your cities." Also, in Jerusalem, there was a Baal set up on every street. In Jeremiah 11, verse 13, we read, "As many as the streets of Jerusalem are the altars you have set up to shame, altars to make offerings to Baal." So, not one just person, killing of innocent people, as many gods as there were cities in Judah, Baals on every street, and most heinous of all, I think we'd have to say, is what we read in Jeremiah 19 and verse 4. "They have filled this place with the blood of innocents and have built the high places to Baal, to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or decree, nor did it come into my mind." That's the Lord speaking. So this is the situation in Jeremiah's day. And this is what God's chosen people were doing. And against that backdrop, we have the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was God's prophet. As you know, prophets relay God's message to the people, to the king, or to the people. And the thrust of that message was often, repent, turn from sin, and turn back to me. And Jeremiah has been saying, if you are doing these things, then God has prescribed judgment for you. He says you need to repent. You need to repent now. You need to repent in sackcloth and ashes. But what's the people's response? We read it in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised, they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it. They don't want to hear they're sinful. They don't want to hear they're headed for judgment. And to them, the word of the Lord, what is it? It's an object of scorn. And as we know, the people don't listen to Jeremiah. And into the narrative, before us this evening, comes Hananiah. Hananiah, what a name. Hananiah means Yahweh, the Lord, has been gracious. So he's got a name. And he spoke like a prophet of God. He knows how to sound like a legitimate prophet of God. He knows how prophets talk. He can talk the talk pretty well. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts. And he throws out there, declares the Lord. He knows how to talk like a prophet. He knows how to sound like a prophet. And he's esteemed as a prophet. In that passage we read, Hananiah is called a prophet five times. People thought of him as a prophet. They looked up to him as a prophet. They would go to Hananiah and say, Hananiah, tell us what God says. He would tell them. They would believe it. And here he comes and he is prophesying peace and deliverance. Jerusalem, it's going to be delivered. And the things that the king of Babylon took, they're going to be returned. The king that was taken away, he will come back. All the articles of gold and silver, they're going to be returned. The people who he took away, they are going to be brought back too. All within the space of 2 years. Everything's fine. I'm fine. You're fine. Everything's fine. Jeremiah's response? When he hears this false prophet, something he knows is wrong, he says, Amen. Amen, Hananiah. May it be so. May the Lord make it happen as you say. Is he being sarcastic? I don't think he is. Jeremiah wishes it was true. He loves his people. He loves where he lives. He loves the city he lives. He loves Jerusalem. And he says, Amen, Hananiah. May the Lord make it happen as you say. But he doesn't finish there, does he? You see, there's a but coming, there's a yet coming, or a nevertheless coming. What does Jeremiah say? What do we read in that chapter we just read? Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. Jeremiah is saying to Hananiah, Hananiah, up until this point, prophets have been condemning sin. Prophets have been warning of God's judgment against his people for sin. Up until this point, Hananiah, God has been calling for repentance. And I'm sure passages from the Old Testament come to mind. What does Isaiah say in Isaiah 5, verse 5? He's prophesying of God's judgment. It's what Isaiah says. And now I will tell you what I will do with my vineyard. This is the Lord speaking about his people. I will remove its hedge and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. And I will also command the clouds that they rain upon it, that they rain no rain upon it. That was Isaiah's prophecy of judgment against his people. But also, you've got Micah's prophecy in Micah chapter 39. Just listen to these words. Hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who detest justice and make crooked all that is straight, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Its heads, so those in charge, give judgment for a bribe. Its priests teach for a price. Its prophets practice divination for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord in the midst of us? No disaster shall come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be ploughed as a field, and Jerusalem shall be a heap of ruins. Hananiah saying, hey, everything's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. And Jeremiah is saying, Hananiah, your message isn't backed up by other prophets. Yes, your message is great. Amen to it. But your message is different to the prophets who've gone before. And what does Jeremiah say when God sends Jeremiah to Hananiah? In verse 15 of chapter 28, we read, then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, yet you have persuaded this nation to trust in lies. Therefore, this is what the Lord says, I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. This very year, you are going to die because you have preached rebellion against the Lord. See, Hananiah was a false prophet, and God dealt with him as such. So, false prophets today, what do they sound like? What do they look like? Well, in Jeremiah's day, Hananiah was called a prophet. He spoke like a prophet. He probably looked like a prophet. Came from the same region as Jeremiah. He was recognized and esteemed as a prophet. And today, false teachers? Yeah, they would call themselves Christians. Would they be recognized as preachers? Yes. Would they be in pulpits? Yes, they would. They'd be in pulpits, on platforms. And they know how to talk the talk. And what would their theme be? What would they be teaching? Will it be exactly the same as the thrust of Hananiah's message? They would teach what makes us feel good. What was Hananiah's teaching? He was saying, he was teaching deliverance, wasn't he? Hey, Jerusalem, God's going to protect it. This is God's city. Don't worry. Everything will work out okay. 2 years, everything will be sorted. That's what the people wanted to hear. It appealed to their sinful nature, didn't it? So Hananiah's message was focused on what people wanted to hear, not on what was true. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. So what might false teachers be saying today? A whole range of things, I'm sure. Here are just a few. So we'll be teaching God doesn't judge. Ultimately, it's going to be okay for everyone. Others will be teaching there's no hell, there's no eternal judgment, no eternal condemnation. Completely contrary to what the Bible says. Some will be teaching a health and wealth gospel. Here's a direct quote from one of those preachers. God wants us to prosper financially, to have plenty of money to fulfill the destiny that he has laid out for us. Sounds very appealing to our flesh, doesn't it? Some teach to fulfill your destiny, stay true to your heart. Doesn't that appeal to our sinful pride? No, says the Bible. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jesus says, out of the heart come evil thoughts. The Bible does not say, stay true to your heart. What does God say about false prophets? Well, we saw how God dealt with Hananiah. Jeremiah pronounced a death sentence over him. I think we'd have to agree that some of the scariest words in the New Testament are against false teachers. I read you just four verses from the New Testament. Just listen to these words. First of all, Galatians 1, verse 8. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. In other words, damn him to hell. Galatians 1 verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. What about Peter was, what we read in Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 12, speaking of false prophets. These, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction. Or in 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 17, also speaking of false teachers, these are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. See there the importance of how important it is to preach what is true and the consequences of preaching what is false. So what is our response to this? Well, I think it's twofold. First of all, we need to be able to spot what is counterfeit. Now, if you were criminally minded and you wanted to produce some counterfeit money, you are not going to go into your cupboard and raid some Monopoly money, photocopy that and make that up, are you? You're going to get £20 note. And you're going to, as best as you can, copy it, imitate it. With the metal strip, and the picture, and the weight of it, and the feel of it. Everything about it, you're going to try and imitate. And who's best to be able to identify a counterfeit note? Well, those who have studied real currency and compared it to the counterfeit. They're going to know exactly what it should feel like. They'll know exactly what the texture of the paper's like. They will know exactly what to look out for. So those who've studied the real will most easily be able to recognise that's counterfeit. And so it is with God's word. We need to know the original so that we can spot the counterfeit. We need to be able to tell what's true from what's not true. We need to know God's word so that when somebody says something that's not consistent with it, we can recognize it. We need to be able to recognize when we're hearing something that just appeals to our own pride. We need to recognize when we're hearing something that's just being said and it appeals to our self-interests. We need to recognize it for what it is. False teaching, not truth. You see, God doesn't change. His truth is eternal, isn't it? What was true back then is true today. And whatever is taught today has to be consistent with God's revealed truth. In Numbers 23, verse 19, we read, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? And in Hebrews 13, verse 8, we read, Christ Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think this ties in, doesn't it, with what Tom's been saying about the confession. You need to nail down what it is and define what is the truth that we believe is revealed in God's word. So, not only do we need to actually be able to discern the truth, what is true, what is lies, but also we need to be able to be willing to hear the truth. Jeremiah had a lot of stinging things to say, didn't he? The people needed to hear it, but it didn't appeal to their pride and it didn't appeal to their self-interest, so they wouldn't hear it. But what about us? God's truth often isn't what we want to hear. Often it injures our pride. Does mine, I'm sure I'm not the only one. So when we hear God's word, we need to listen to what's hard to hear, as much as the things we'd like to hear. Be ready to respond to what stings, as much as what suits us. And be willing to turn from sin, not to excuse it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this chapter in your word that we've looked at this evening very briefly. Mighty God, help us to know what your word says, to be convinced of the truth that's in your word, for it to be clear in our minds, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be able to discern truth from error. Help us, Lord, to protect the truth that we hold. Help us, Lord, to be able to discern those that would be teaching things that are not truth, things that just appeal to our flesh, that appeal to our pride. And Almighty God, help us, Lord, to be willing to hear your word coming to us. And Lord, even if it stings, Lord, help us to be willing to hear your word. We pray, Lord, for those who preach your word, they'll be faithful to it. Pray for our pastor, Lord, that he'll be faithful in the way he teaches your word, and that we'll have hearts to hear. Be with us now, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.